देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायानुदीरयेत्। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Talks between Narada and King Prachinavarhi. Sarve kramanurodhena ayanti bahusho yanti sarve samanaso janaha sarve kramanurodhena manasindriya gochara ayanti bahusho yanti sarve samanaso jana. Anyone else? Sarve, all, krama anurodhena, in order of chronology, manasi, in the mind, indriya, by the senses, gocharaha, experienced. Ayanti, come. Bahushaha, in many ways. Yanti, go away. Sarve, all. Sa manasaha, with a mind. Janaha, living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The mind of the living entity continues to exist in various gross bodies, and according to one's desires for sense gratification. I'll read again that part. And according to one's desires for sense gratification, the mind records different thoughts. In the mind, these appear together in different combinations. Therefore, this image sometimes appear as things never seen or never heard before. Purport. The activities of the living entity in the body of a dog may be experienced in the mind of a different body. Therefore, those activities appear never to have been heard or seen. The mind continues although the body changes. Even in this life span, we can sometimes experience dreams of our childhood. Although such incidents now appear strange, it is to be understood that they are recorded in the mind. Because of this, they become visible in dreams. The transmigration of the soul is caused by the subtle body, which is the storehouse of all kinds of material desires. Unless one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, material desires will come and go. That is the nature of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. As long as the mind is not engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the mind will desire so many material enjoyments. Sensual images are recorded in the mind in chronological order, and they become manifest one after another. Therefore, the living entity has to accept one body after another. The mind plans material enjoyment, and the gross body serves as the instrument to realize such desires and plans. The mind is the platform onto which all desires come and go. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arana Kariha Arna Kariho Mane Asha. Narottam Das Thakur advises everyone to stick to the principle of carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. One should not desire anything else. If the regulative principles ordered by the spiritual master are followed rigidly, the mind will gradually be trained to desire nothing but the service of Krishna. Such training is the perfection of life. Sarve krama nurodhena manas indriya gochara ayanti bahusho yanti sarve samana sojanaha. The mind of the living entity continues to exist in various gross bodies, and according to one's desires for sense gratification, the mind records different thoughts. In the mind, these appear together in different combinations. Therefore, these images sometimes appear as things never seen or never heard before. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, good morning everyone. I ask for your blessings also. I wasn't prepared for this class, but I will try to do my best for serving devotees. So Prabhupada already explained everything, so I will go through the purport. The activities of the living entity in the body of a dog may be experienced in the mind of a different body. Therefore, those activities appear never to have been heard or seen. So in the verse, it's explaining that the mind of the living entity continues to exist in various gross bodies. And according to one's desire for sense gratification, the mind records different thoughts. So, like in previous verses, we learned that during dreams we experience different situations that are not according to our body. For instance, the mind has been recorded experience from our previous lives. And then in dreams, sometimes this experience may be combined. Like Prabhupada explained, like if you see a mountain and then you see gold, the mind will combine this and you can see a gold mountain. Therefore, dreams shouldn't be taken very seriously. But we can understand by our dreams, our consciousness, and what we were in previous life, and also by our present consciousness, our present body, we can have understanding of what we were before in another body. The mind is the storehouse of all the material desires, all kind of desires, and it's like now there is a recorder machine. So our mind is recording everything, but especially impressions or experiences that are very significant for us. This will be always recorded. Therefore, in a spiritual culture, we have samskaras, or different ceremonies that will create an impression. For example, marriage or first initiation, second initiation, actually there is not a need to do a ceremony for those events. I mean, you can get married and there is no need to do a feast, a ceremony. Just you agree. And also, if you take it first initiation, like Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he gave initiation without any ceremony. Like, I think Nrisimhananda Prabhu was one of them. But I think he has problem with his father, so he couldn't live in the temple. No? He was a young devotee, living in Bhakta, living in the temple, and Prabhupada came to know what was going on with him, that his parents didn't want him to live in the temple, and he was worried because he didn't take initiation yet, and now he has to move from the temple, so he wanted at least to have initiation, and he will continue practicing Krishna consciousness in his house. So Prabhupada talked to him, and he gave initiation right away. And he said, your name is Nrisimhananda, you will be always protected from your father. Like, because the parent wasn't favorable to Krishna consciousness. So sometimes, even initiation can be given informal. It's in the heart. It's a transmission of knowledge. But there is this big ceremonies to create an impression in the mind. Like, in our lives, like therefore we have so many festivals. Like that, so our life will be full of thoughts of Krishna recordings. Like so, by the time of death, we may remember, or some of this image will come. Will come maybe first initiation. All devotees like Dundubit, planes. Mridangas and calling our name, no? like a victory. And if we do something like marriage will be connected to Krishna, so there will be deities, there should be Nama Yagya there, everything. So then you record that image. Otherwise, if you do just like non-devotees, do a regular feast, then you will remember your friends all drunk. And then you also, I was there. So those thoughts will come to the mind. So that the spiritual culture, Vedic culture, takes in consideration how it's very scientific. So we have so many samskaras or ceremonies that create, like, samskara is an impression in the mind of vritti. And through all these ceremonies, the living entity, the human being, is helped to remember Krishna. Therefore, we have also, like, every day we have ceremonies like Mangal Arati, Sringa Arati, and then we have the festivals. And we have kirtan, and some kirtans, when there are many, many devotees, especially if you go to Mayapur, and there are thousands of devotees, then this is a big impression in the mind. I remember my first time in a big kirtan in a temple in Argentina. I never had experience of being in a temple, so I went and spent 1 month there. And it was really nice. There were many devotees, and I used to love Shingararatik and the kirtan who comes after. And when I came back, I was always, at night, I was remembering. I have all the pictures in my mind. And that was keeping me alive and with a desire to come back. And I remember also when the first time I went to Vrindavan, was just the first month I joined the temple. And somehow or other came this travel to Vrindavan, and I didn't know anything about Vrindavan, even the places. But somehow or other, because I was with the devotees, the pictures become recorder in my mind, and then later, still now, because I didn't come back to Vrindavan since 2001. When I'm reading books, I say, I was here. or some Prabhupada is describing some places, and then I see the picture on the internet, and I say, I remember that place. So the mind is very strong. So one of the main difficulties of those who haven't been raised in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, like me and others, is that we have so many other impressions in our mind that are not of Krishna consciousness. So we have so many pictures. And what we are going to do with that? We don't know if they will come back. Especially sometimes may come back in dreams, and that give us an indication that also come those pictures of experience may come back at the time of death. And so that therefore that can help as a practitioner to take more seriously the chanting and also the environment where we are, be more conscious. And we know that the process is Chetodar, Panamar, Janambaba, is all about cleaning all these anarthas or unnecessary experience or thoughts that are stuck in our mind by our previous desires, material desires. So it's a question of cleaning of the mind, no? Marjanam. Cleaning our hearts. So, the transmigration of the soul is caused by the subtle body, which is the storehouse of all kinds of material desires. Unless one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, material desires will come and go. That is the nature of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. As long as the mind is not engaged in meditation on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the mind will desire so many material enjoyments. Sensual images are recorded in the mind in chronological order, and they become manifest one after another. Therefore, the living entity has to accept one body after another. The mind plans material enjoyment, and the gross body serves as the instrument to realize such desires and plans. The mind is the platform onto which all desires come and go. So, like always, Prabhupada stressed that we don't have any other option. No? Like man mana bhava mad bhakto, no? Madhyajima namaskuru, that to engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. And somehow or other, the acharyas explain, we have to think of Krishna, and we have to use our intelligence and how to stay in Krishna consciousness or become Krishna consciousness. We have so many activities, and after a while, I'm realizing that one have to know how to engage oneself. You know? Once at the beginning of Krishna consciousness, there is so much help. How to engage you? Like you have so many activities, and then you practice everything. But after a while, you're supposed to start by understanding the instruction of the spiritual master to engage yourself and fulfill the instruction. Like this, basically the same for everyone. Become a pure devotee. That's the desire of the spiritual master, that we go back to Krishna, back to Godhead. And we have to find different ways to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. After a while, I remember at the beginning of Krishna consciousness, there wasn't any material desire, at least in the superficial. Because I wasn't going deep to see, but it wasn't like, this process is amazing. Chanting Hare Krishna and not feeling anything material. I was doing book distribution and I was in complete like ecstasy. No ladies will come. I will give books. Not feeling anything. I used to go to even to pubs, like bars, and distribute prasadam. Inside, people were drinking alcohol, and a few months ago, I was doing similar things, and I wasn't feeling anything. It was like, I was saying, I'm clean, I'm ready. But then, by continuing the process, also mistakes one commits, you start realizing that it will take a while. That many desires are in the bottom of your heart. And any mistake that you do, those desires come up again. So it's very, but then you start realizing we need to go, like Krishna will ask more and more, the same process of Krishna consciousness. First, will ask you only, you come to temple on Sunday. You come on Sunday and just smile, just be nice. And then they will ask you, well, now you can, Krishna will tell you, now you can do some seva, like a practical, help the devotee somehow or other. Then you can do dishes or something. If we are sincere, the process will start asking more. Now you can start chanting rounds. Just one round, I think, is not enough. First we chant one round and we are like, Hari Bol! But then we feel, no, that's one round, I need more. It's like a spiritual addiction, we need more. And it's like that, the process. It should be increasing. And so Krishna at the beginning, he said, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Just give me a leaf, a flower, a fruit. But then Krishna said, now give me your life. Start asking for a little bit and then take everything. And if we don't increase, then these material desires will come out, because we are entering in the war of Maya. Like if you have your enemies here, and at the beginning you are here, you see them very far away. So you can laugh and make jokes as before you are going to fight. But then when you, like Arjuna, when you see in front of you, then you start thinking and trembling. What's really, you are realizing what's going to happen. I will kill all my material desires. Arjuna is seeing all his enemies there, and now he's feeling, but actually, I love them. And so, when we grow, we continue our Krishna consciousness, we start seeing our enemies face to face. And those enemies have been our so-called friends for so many lives. So we confront the thoughts, and we may think, I don't want to kill them. Just leave it there. So therefore, when you are in front of the enemy, you need more weapons. When you are behind, still you don't need to use the arms, but once you are there, you need more strength. So the more we practice, the more tools or technical, spiritual technology we will need. We need more knowledge, more mercy from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, and more techniques also in our chanting, especially in the chanting when we confront the enemies. You know? I heard many senior devotees explain, when we are chanting all together in the temple room, it's like Kurukshetra. You know? Like you cannot distract with the other, what are doing others. You are fighting with your enemies, and you can see the others also fighting. So you are, it inspires you to go to the fighting. And everyone is in his own fighting. And in that way, you are alone. Although you are with a sangha of devotees, but at the same time, you are alone. And you can be killed at any time. Or So we need more advices, you know, how to chant Hare Krishna, how to practice japa, a better association, like higher associations, so we can grow. So Srila Narottama Thakur, Prabhupada quotes, we sing every day, no? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. These are the words coming from the spiritual master, should be our soul, our life and soul. And this will create the chitete korya, aika, the real impressions in our heart and mind. To stick to the principle of carrying out the order of the spiritual master, one should not desire anything else. If the regulative principles ordered by the spiritual master are followed rigidly, the mind will gradually be trained to desire nothing but the service of Krishna. So that's the main goal, and we need that mercy. But first we need to understand that we need that mercy of the spiritual master. And that mercy, we will know when we have the mercy, when we don't have any, when we receive the mercy, we become, like Ramapada Swami Maharaj was explaining in Second Sunday Feast, that to receive the mercy also you have to become a good recipient. You have to be ready to receive that. So, and the symptom of that we are receiving that is that we have only one desire, to serve Krishna, the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas. And as soon as we have another desire, or we act in another way, is that still we are not receiving all the... We are not proper, still we are not clean enough to receive the mercy, to bring Krishna in the heart. We have to continue the process till there is nothing there. Sometimes when we are doing cleaning, like even temple room, kitchen, or dishes, sometimes we may see something like, for example, in the temple floor, we may see a leaf that is there, or a piece of paper. We may neglect that. We say, yeah, there's a little thing. And we keep walking, or we are chanting rounds. Sometimes I'm chanting and I see something on the floor. I notice that Ramapada Swami, always when he's chanting, when he sees something on the floor, he picks it out and clean it. So I was meditating in the same way. When we are chanting, we are thinking some, like a little dust in the heart or material desires. We may don't do anything, because we may think that this is nothing. Like in the temple floor, that paper is nothing. I can leave it here, that nobody will notice. Or in the cleaning a dish, a pot, like we say, oh, this small black point doesn't make any difference. So I will leave it, so I can finish early. But this is a thing that will accumulate. And then after we see if everyone think like that, after a while the temple floor is all dirty and the dishes start becoming black because everyone is thinking the same. And in the same way, our heart is also, we think that we are doing a cleaning, but I'm chanting for 20 years, but we are always, every day we are leaving some black spot there. And then this accumulate, and then it's very difficult to take out. So this cleaning process, by the study of the scriptures, we can identify what we have inside. We can identify, this is dirty, you know, this is not a spiritual desire. I have to take out this. And it may take a lot of effort to take out those things. But it's always worthy to practice that. But that's part of spiritual life, has two sides. No, one is a joyful, because it's practiced with Ananda. And this is more a kind of utsaha, attitude of the practitioner, more than something that is just really coming. It's something that is there, but we provoke by our attitude. And then the other aspect is that it's also painful, because if we really are practicing, should be some pain, because we are taking out things that are stuck in our body. Like when you have a bandage, and after like 7 days you want to take out the bandage, and it will take out all your hairs on the body. It will be a little painful because it was a stick there. So material desire, when we are cleaning the hearts, and some attachments are coming out. There is joy and there is also this fighting. Okay, so is there any questions?
And then the last analogy that you were describing, with the leaf on the floor, and if we neglect it, it will accumulate. I'm a little confused by that analogy, because we may recognize material desires in our heart. I'm sure there's an ocean of material desires in our heart, so we recognize a few of them. But what is the method of removing them? The method of removing them doesn't seem by direct engagement with them, or trying to directly remove them, because that seems impossible. On the statement of Krishna and Gita, Mama Maya Dharatya. So if I directly try to remove a material desire, it seems that it won't be successful. But the other approach Krishna says is by surrendering to me, more it can be removed. So I was wondering, when we're noticing our material desires in the heart, is our method for removing it like a redoubled strength in the opposite direction of, you know, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitate Koriya Asha, Arna Koriya Mani Asha, just redouble enthusiasm to strictly, rigidly follow the order of the spiritual master in terms of our chanting Hare Krishna and performing devotional service. And by redoubled energy in that direction, the material desires are removed. Because if we were to have to tackle all the types of material desires we have, you know, forget it's not that it's just one leaf, it's already an ocean of leaves accumulated, you know. So I was a little bit confused, if you can explain that. Because I was thinking your first statement, Prabhupada says we can experience the activities of a dog in another body. And you were explaining at the beginning of the class, it made a lot of sense to me, that just like when we have a dream of a golden mountain, we don't take it very seriously. So in the same way, I was feeling that if I'm having many abominable types of thought processes, it could be because of the types of things I was doing in other, even lower grade bodies, and I'm experiencing in a human body, you know, the activities of a dog. So it should not be taken very seriously in the sense that, oh my God, I am like this. It is something that my mind is experiencing, but I'm not like that. So do we tackle that by trying to tackle it, or we tackle it by just redoubled enthusiasm in hearing and chanting under the direction of Guru? I don't know if I know it's a little bit more about that.
Oh, very, very nice. Yep. What I'm trying to say is not that we by ourselves will take our manivaya prapadyante. Like we surrender to the process, to Krishna, and actually by ourselves we can, it's impossible to eliminate material desires. There is no way. Therefore, but the process is like Arjuna, he starts identifying the problem. And then he says, Karpanya dosho pahata subhava. He knows that something is going on wrong there. The process of practicing rigidly, I don't think it's just to by myself, no, I will chant more like that. Because by ourselves, what we can do? Even for everything, we need the help of not only devotees for keeping away the leaving the body, when there are so many arrangements outside of external from us that are going on. So we should recognize that. But what that means is to not like you identify one desire but another desire, but we can express to seniors or to what, those who can help us and say, well, here, you know, how to dovetail those desires. Like, you cannot dovetail all the desires. So some desire you have to, we have to really just forget, like you say, you know, like this is not myself, you know, it's nonsense that coming in the mind. It's not like you pay attention to, why am I thinking like that? Maybe now we have many thoughts like dogs, so, you know, like desire that a dog also may have. So therefore, in the form, no, the activities of the living entity in the body of a dog may experience in the mind of a different body. You know? Like eating, mating, defending, no, in the gross senses are dog activities. So, and there are many others. Okay. So some of them we shouldn't even take them seriously. Just living are just like in dreams. No, it's a dream. No? But there are others who may impel us to act. Like may become. Later, prarabdha, who will act upon it and receive immediate reaction. And then it's coming from another sinful desire that we have. We already planted the seed and we have the desire. So we know which desire, by the process of chanting, we can understand that there are thousands of desires, but there are a few who are causing me a trouble, like an impediment. I'm struggling with this, with that, fundamental desires that are also looked like themselves, but actually are not ourselves. Talking about those desires, we cannot neglect. The process is always the same. We can present many questions. To the spiritual master, our senior here, but we may want also to express what's going on in our mind and what are our plans, so we can be checked out. I'm thinking of this and that and that, and then they can understand he's really, this devotee really struggling with this, or he's attached, or he's materialistic. But you let them know, so then. Others can help us by engaging, and they know. But if we just struggle alone, then nobody knows what's going on, and everyone is thinking that we are okay in our spiritual life, and then one day this desire kills us, you know, our bhakti lata, and we leave Krishna consciousness. So the process is surrender, but in an intelligent way to express. We don't have to express everything, Prabhu, give 20,000 anarthas. We can express how our mind is working. You know? I'm worried about this and that. But recently I was talking with a senior devotee, and I just, well, many, even fully think that I have things that I may express, and I may look like, for a senior devotee, of such a full brahmacharya, thinking of doing this and that. But I prefer to express that, and so that he can know what's going on with me. So that I assume that they will help in if they are seeing something wrong there. But also include reinforcing our practices. But originally, I don't think it means to do a militar. Exactly like a militar, because if something is very rigid, then it's easy to break. So one should be flexible. So stick to the principle. Especially for a preacher, it's very difficult to keep something very steady, because sometimes programs come in at night, you know, like that. Or if you plan to chant 64 rounds and then you have to go to the pujari and do this, do that, There are so many things that we may plan for our sadhana, but sometimes other things, other services come out. So, but really means to, we know what that we want to do, whatever we're doing for pleasing Samsidhir Haritoshana, for pleasing Krishna, and also for keeping our mind in Krishna consciousness.
Say something, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. I was when you were speaking about Arjuna on the battlefield, I was thinking about how when we have attachments, our mind is very good at justifying them. So it seems very reasonable that we should have these attachments. So for example, like I was noticing recently how, you know, happiness and distress comes within our lives, and actually I get quite bewildered by them. But my mind justifies it so one doesn't feel he's so conditioned, right? Just like Arjuna, he was able to justify his attachments without admitting that he's attached. He just kept justifying it. So could you give some practical or just some thoughts on how to stop this justification program so we can actually admit that I'm very conditioned or I'm bewildered by happiness and distress instead of just justifying it in the situation?
So you said justifying your own attachments?
Yeah. Mind justifies it to yourself so you don't think you're as attached as you really are. You know? You may be very attached, but the mind creates a situation so it doesn't seem so,
so
bad.
You know that there is an attachment, but and then your mind, you're justified because it's
yeah.
your mind is part of
it. So it doesn't seem so bad. It doesn't seem like you're so attached. It just seems like, okay.
So yeah, I have this attachment, but anyway, I'm... It's not so bad. No. Yeah, I'm still. I can do like apichet sudharacharo. Anyway, I'm practicing Krishna consciousness. So it can be taken away. I may say always to consult with. If we, this justification, Prabhu, is like someone who. We think we know has more experience than us, so we present the justification of it because we can test our mind. So we say, okay, we can write, and this is my justification. We can show to others, and even just by reading, you can see how foolish is the justification. Like when you are chanting rounds, sometimes we have the practice. I know. Once I deal with some devotee, like we have to write, everything is coming in the mind during rounds. You can write a book, no? Like, but actually, after you write a few things, then go, because when you write and you read, you say that's foolish. And if there is something that makes sense, like you have to, I don't know, you know, 10 o'clock, you have to go to book distribution, then you write and don't bother anymore. It won't come back that. Thought, but usually most of the thoughts are incoherent, you know, or desire. So the justification also sometimes doesn't make sense, but we can confront with Shastra, okay, like we can take advantage of, okay, this is the argument of the mind, and we see, and we can also explain to another devotee, like, I'm doing this because of that and that and that, and not take only the authority of the mind, you know, like we. Because when we justify a behavior, because a material attachment should be a behavior, no? Especially when it's manifested. No? Like we are doing something and we justify with our mind, but we know that something is wrong there. So by accepting our argument, we may be okay, but the process may be better to say, okay, for example, Radha Raman Prabhu, I'm doing this. Like any time I go to, I don't know, to do Prabhupada, worship Prabhupada, I don't want to put a sandal because I'm too late and I want to be more practical. So I want to do it fast and do the puja. And that's okay. And then they will say, with other things, like I'm eating like 20 gulabs. every day I'm justifying because in the name of, like, I have to keep my mind happy and be happy in Krishna consciousness, so I don't want to restrict me from eating this gulab jamun. So that's our justification. But then we say to our another senior devotee, I'm eating the same that we say, the is in our mind. So I'm eating 20 gulab jamun because I think that I want to keep my happy. And they will say, well, Prabhu, that's not the way to keep happy. You won't become sick. And then we receive an advice. That's a simple way. But checking. We have, therefore, we have association. Like, we check our justification. And we should also be responsible for our mind, I think. Like, we always talk about the mind like another personality. Like it's not ours. So it's like the Christians. So not all Christians, but they say, if they do something wrong, they say, oh, it was the devil, no? The tempter, Satan's tempter. No? And then the devotee say, oh, Prabhu, my mind makes me like, I went to book distribution and I came back to temple immediately because my mind, this rascal mind. No? And we may justify many things like that. Not in my mind. No, it's I'm created. This mind is a creation of. I am the person who is. I have to be responsible for that. No, but then when we chant rounds nicely or we sing in the kirtan or dance, I was dancing so static in the kirtan. I'm very regulated and I'm going to. Eating properly and going to Mangal Arati, but we never say, oh, my mind, such a friend I have, is helping me to come to Mangal Arati, helping me to chant my wrongs, and helping me to do. I give many books thanks to my friend, my mind. Then when something is okay, we never say the mind. So, so what is the mind? Like, I guess you know, should take a. It's better to take it personally in the sense of being responsible for the thought that have the mind. It's not a Satan, a separate soul that is there trying to trick. That's Maya, the illusion, but we are pursuing Maya through the mind. So I before we end up, we know that our dear Bhaktacharya, he left out his body. So we just received a message today that we say all the devotees to don't stop praying because he's alive. So and now there is a transition. He needs our prayers now. So our chanting, whatever we do, we can offer to pray for him and offer to him. So he's going through this transition with the Sangha of the devotee, the help. And we can remember all the service he did for Kishore Kishori, which is very significant in a very short time. And understand all his willingness to practice Krishna consciousness. And like he told me, I don't have my mail here, but so I can say in the same phrase he said, but he said it like in a saying, American saying, but he told me it's an endless, something like, it's an endless fighting for me to fight with Maya, but one day I'll make it, he said. And so we pray for that. That show that he was always trying to, doing an effort to please Krishna and the devotees and become fully Krishna conscious. Although, like everyone, we have to fight, but we have our things that will impel us to reach the goal immediately. But as far as I saw from him, he was always like trying, like the phoenix beer. I don't know if you had that story, but any time he may have a problem in Krishna consciousness, he will come back like with a strength. Like he will never let Maya keep him down. Like he always coming, and that shows the sincerity of a devotee. And he did amazing service for the prison ministry, the library here. He used to put all the books of the library in order in a computer, and then make the library run and function properly. He did Food for Life. So many homeless people in Chicago area, they received prasadam by his desire, and he engaged all the devotees very nicely in that service. And also he used to organize harinams, and he was very good organizing preaching programs. And so I think all of us are very grateful to him for giving us such a nice time in Krishna consciousness. We have so many pictures with Jerry in doing those programs. Also this, for the Spanish preaching, he helped a lot by doing book prasadam distribution there in 26th Street. So we really miss his all his eagerness to serve the devotees, and please everyone pray for him, because this is the time where we need every one of us will live one day. We will want others to pray for us. That's the best we can do for a Vaishnava, is just to pray to Krishna for the Vaishnava to always be in the lotus feet of Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.